Thank you. I'm just going to get a piece of paper so we can write down what you're thinking. Well, that's because I usually can't hear what you're saying, so it's easier for me to write down what you're thinking. And then I'm going to give Alison the pen because I can't do two things at once anymore. And then I'm going to get a bit ready with what I had in mind because I can't remember what I was talking about either most of the time. Welcome to the very last morning talk of the year. That might be a relief or a joy to you. My name is Shirley Page. I'm one of the church wardens here at this church. When we've run out of priests, we call in the very best reserve team. So I wonder what you think. There were two readings, one from the book of Samuel and one from the book of Luke. I wonder if you have any ideas about what things might link those two together. Children. Thank you. Something else as well. And? Popular. Children are popular in both of these stories. Children are popular. Full stop, I think. Any more general themes? They were both in favour with people and God. Thank you. Anything else, perhaps?
Obscure.
Yes? Okay, so the children were born into what we would think of exceptional sort of circumstances, quite extraordinary birth, yeah. Just put a bit unusual. Mothers. Okay, thank you. And yes, you're right, there are children involved and their families and some unusual circumstances. The children are both involved in serving in different ways. Both stories, they're doing things away from their parents. And in both circumstances, people are learning, and that's a little bit about what we're going to look at this morning. So both these readings, first of all, are about children serving God in different models of ministry. And so we're going to do a little practice activity about serving, because we learn in different ways, so this is a doing sort of learning. So if you could just rub your hands together a little bit, that, as if we're going to get ready to do something, that's okay. And if you're feeling a bit active this morning, please join in with this game. It's going to be like one you know called Simon Says, but because this is about families and things, I wonder who is it that tells you most about what to do in your family, mum or dad? Dad, right? Okay, so we're going to call this game Dad Says. Okay, so and if you need a bit of space to do it, you can stand in the aisles or on your chair or in the space, or you can just do things quietly where you're sitting, that's okay. And remember the rules, if you don't play this game, when Dad says you do it, you do it. That's what happens at home, isn't it? And if Dad doesn't say, then actually sometimes you don't, okay? Right, okay. Right, so Dad says do the washing up and the drying up. But you didn't. Dad says brush your hair. Run up the stairs. Uh-oh. Dad says run up the stairs. Right, Dad says pour the tea. Dad says, sit down and pray. Dad says, go to sleep. And sing a worship song. Dad says, read the Bible. Dad says, do your homework. You can probably still do both those things while you're asleep, I expect. Thank you very much. Dad says, come and sit down. Very well done to all of you who did what you were asked. The thing is, which of those activities might be serving God's purpose? Of course, the answer might be all of them. But it's important for us to recognize that all of us are able to make a contribution to God's work and ministry, and we are all asked to serve him in different ways. Serving God isn't just for children. We all have a role to play. When Samuel was very young, probably at the age of about 4, he began to learn about the special role of priesthood from Eli and the other priests in the temple. Jesus was learning from and with the rabbis and teachers in the temple in Jerusalem. Not only do we all have a role to play in serving God, we also all have a responsibility alongside parents and families to help and support our children in learning and developing their faith. Number 2. In both of these readings, we see different family arrangements and different family expectations. We're going to have a little think about what families might look like now. So we're going to play a game called Happy Families. I don't know if you've ever played it with cards. So I need some helpers, please. Have you noticed how even in this church the children do all the work? Right, please could you go and find all of the family members that go with this person? Do you know him? Good, fine. Go and find all his family. Now, they're hiding, and everybody will have noticed this already. If you were listening to the reading and following it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find the rest of the family hiding in the Pew Bibles in different places. Now, could you go and find all the rest of this family? This guy's family. Right, next volunteer. Please, could you go and find all the rest of this person's family? They're in your Pew Bible somewhere. The rest of you can help. Please, Rachel, can you go and find... Oh, do you know this one? Go and find the rest of this person's family. Can you go and find the rest of this person's family? Have a check up the aisle. Have a look in your Bible. If you're waiting for them to be found, the reading was in 1 Samuel. Have a little browse. Chapter 2. Read around the story, Luke chapter 2. That's it. It helps if you've got one of them and hold him up, then we can find it. It helps if you look in the book that's near to you. It's good when we help each other. If you've got one by you, find as many as you can. Okay. What's the name of the family that you've got there, Amy? Obama. The Obamas. And who are the members of the family, do you know?
I don't know the names. Michelle
and Barack. Mum's called Michelle. Dad is called?
Barack,
yeah. And the daughters, I think these parents did a great job in protecting, if we're actually not so familiar with them. Their names are Sasha and Milia. Media, I think. Yeah, okay, great. So that's the Obamas there. Which family have you got, Abby? The Simpsons? Huh? Who have you got? You're missing a girl. Okay. One of them might have wandered off. So they are called? This one is? Homer and Marge and Bart and baby Maggie. So Lisa has popped off to the shops. Somebody's going to get a surprise in the Pew Bible one day, early next year. Okay, you know I've got the Beckhams. Anybody know this family? Their dad is called
David.
Mum is called Victoria. Right, and these guys are, this is Brooklyn.
Romeo.
and
Cruz.
I think that's Brooklyn, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't and Romeo. Brooklyn, and then Romeo, and then Cruz, and then Harper. Right, great. Thank you very much. And you've got okay, two families, but they sort of share a house, don't they? Live together.
One lives in Peru.
One lives in Peru.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you know who these people are here? So this is,
that is Mr. Brown.
His name is Henry, if you read the books, yeah. I put two pictures of this family because you might not recognise the one with real people in, or you might recognise the one with the drawing family in. Mr. Brown is Henry, and this is Mrs. Brown. I think she's called, I thought she was called Mary.
Oh, yeah, Mary.
Okay, right. I'm the one that had to do the homework. So, and here are the kids.
Judy
and Jonathan. Brilliant. Well done. So this is
Paddington.
Paddington was adopted into this family when he came from Darkest Peru, and looked after by them. And this is. Thank you. Yeah, but they didn't live together with the Browns, did they? So Paddington left them and went to live with a different family in London, and they looked after him. Yeah, okay, great. And your family is? The royal family, the Windsors. Okie dokie. So which ones have you got? Okay, let's start at the bottom, shall we?
Philip.
Queen. Do you know how many children they had?
Prince Charles.
That's Prince Charles. So that's one of their kids. Here's his brother. Andrew. There are more. We didn't have the pictures because they get a bit complicated. So we went down the generation.
William.
Okay. And they went sideways to?
And Meghan.
Yeah. And then? There's a missing generation, the next ones. Were that still in the book?
Charlotte.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant. That was brilliant. You managed to match all the families together. Well done. Thank you very much. Come and sit down. There is just one that's yet to be found. Okay. Families are complicated. They're sort of mixed up, and sometimes we've got expectations of what a family looks like, and sometimes things change, and sometimes they don't stay in the same place, and sometimes they get a bit lost, and sometimes difficult things happen. And if you know anything about the families that we've looked at, or some families that you know closer to home, things aren't always easy. Even in the happiest of happy families, families have moments when things are difficult. These are often known as times of change and transition, moving home, changing jobs, changing schools, growing up. Now, both Samuel and Jesus were born in extraordinary and special circumstances, as Sally reminded us. And they were born into what we might think of as somewhat unconventional families. Samuel spent a few years at home and then went to live with the priests at the temple. And this story we've heard about Jesus is the only one that's documented about his childhood. Some children grow up in a loving family home, and others, for many different reasons, live away from their parents. Mary and Joseph experience the same dilemmas and suffer the same agonies as parents of any independent-minded child. When to protect, when to let go. Jesus is at a point of transition between that domestic world of home and the public world of challenge and debate. Knowing that we are loved by God and are precious to him is a special gift. And it's important for us all to know that, whatever our family background might be. Next part. In the two readings, we've seen people learning in different ways. Samuel by learning in action, and Jesus learning by questions and discussion, and Mary by contemplation. We're going to play another game to help remember that point now. I wonder if there's anybody that could help me who is really good at answering questions. Maybe someone who has to answer a lot of questions. Is it you guys again? Amazing. What great servants you are. Right, okay. So, do you want to do this together? Okay. Okay, so first thing is, right, I want you to choose a picture from these very familiar things to you, which are household items. So I want you to just choose one and don't tell anybody what it is, and just keep it in your mind which one you're going to choose. You could point to the picture if you like and agree it. Do you know what that's for? Okay, this one, right. Okay, now everybody else is going to ask you a question about what it might be. Right, don't say what it is. And all you're allowed to say in the normal conversational language of an early teenager is yes or no. Or if you like. He's more good at that, is he? Okay, well, you have a go. So we're going to ask a question. This is about a household item. And you may ask questions. Your job is to find out what it is. And maybe we could even make it a competition. So this side would be better than that side. I don't know. You ask a question and they're only allowed to say, or uh-uh. Okay.
You at the back.
Yay! Well done to this team! Good, excellent. One to this side. Now for round two. So, you know, that first point about Samuel was learning by doing things. There, maybe that could be something that we could progress. Okay. Okay, this time you're going to choose one. Ready? Look. Choose one. Well, you'd have to agree. That one then. Okay, that one there. Okay, the category is animal. You may ask questions. You're allowed to say or mm-mm. That's all good. Oh, it is a mouse. Well done. Two over that side. Okay, round three is the really tricky, no, the easy one. So this is a list of names, and the category is called Bible characters. Don't choose the obvious. But you have to choose somebody that you know something about. Maybe.
That.
But you do. Right. He knows something about him. Okay, Bible characters. Here we go. Ask the questions. Is he what? Is he in the Old Testament? Does he fish? Is it, who got it? Forget it, Peter. Yes, it was Peter. Yes, well done. Well done to all of you. Well done to our question and answering team. Debating and asking questions and answering questions is sometimes more difficult than you think. Sometimes asking questions can be fun and it helps us to find out things. Sometimes it helps if we can ask and listen when the answer isn't just yes or no. In our readings, Samuel learns the wisdom for his calling to priesthood from living alongside the high priest Eli and as he serves in the holy shrine. In the story from Luke, there are two models of learning. Jesus learns in the temple by asking questions. He probes, pointing out inconsistencies, thinking through logical consequences, providing counterexamples. The teachers at the temple enjoy the stimulation and challenge him to come up with his own answers. It's a process of joint exploration. And in contrast to that noisy and social world of debate, we see also in that story Mary treasuring all these things in her heart. Reflecting, pondering, and letting events sink in. It's a quiet internal process, often spread over a long time. Questions and contemplation are complementary, both part of the acquiring wisdom. We all learn about our faith and about serving God in different ways. But it's important for us to know that asking questions is okay. Listening to others and debating is a good way to learn. Doing things, practical, active things, and quiet reflection, all of these things can help us to learn and to grow in wisdom and faith. It's just one other point about learning. John, can we have a look at the slide now? Can I just flip up the switches, please, Katrina? Just briefly. There's a picture of learning. And the question is this: who is teaching and who is learning in the photo? There's not necessarily a right answer. What do you think, Rachel? That's quite possible. Do you think something different? They may be teaching and learning from each other, and that's a very important point because it's important for all of us to do. And I wonder to you, how receptive are you to listening to wisdom from children and young people? Now, how receptive are you to listening to the advice of older people? It's something for us all. So how might, thank you, we can have the lights back on now. How might we learn and grow our faith this week and in the year to come? Well, I would encourage everyone to read, to pray, to reflect, and to live their faith this week. Ask questions, engage in debate, Look for ways to serve God by serving others and help and encourage other people, especially our children, to do the same. That sounds like a tall order. How about this small start? Just ask someone a question about faith this week and listen to their answer. Don't try to start a discussion or a debate. Just find out something new about someone else's faith. Maybe an open question like, what is God like to you? I encourage you to be confident in your calling as next year very rapidly becomes this year. Be adventurous in your questioning as you explore life and faithfulness. Listen to the wisdom of both young and old as you journey day by day. Let's close with a prayer. We pray, gracious God, for a questioning heart, that you would guide us in the new year. For a questioning mind, that you would equip us for the coming year. For a questioning faith, that you would deepen and enrich our lives, that we might serve you and guide and equip others to be your disciples too. Amen.